paranormal field. The Paranormal View. The Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network. The Paranormal View.
Welcome everybody to the Paranormal View right here on the Para-X Radio Network. Want to thank everybody for being here tonight and for listening to us. Those here in the chat room, which is filling up nicely, and those for listening from around the world. We appreciate each and every one of you. And welcome again. We've got a great show lined up for tonight. Tonight we have with us Jeffrey Gould, Barbara Duncan, and Kat Cloco. And we have a special guest.
Tonight we want to welcome Donna Eubank-Hennen. She began her astrological studies in 1969. She studied at Galaxy School of Astrology. She has also studied metaphysics and spirituality. She does star charts. She does all kinds of the different readings. She has clients from all over the U.S. and the world, such famous ones as Bob Mackie, Hal Holbrook, Sylvester Stallone, John Travolta, just to name a few of the many that she's read charts for. So welcome to the Paranormal View, Donna Hennen.
And I looked at the chart, and she was going to start that movie during Mercury retrograde. And I said, Lily, this is a terrible time to start this movie. And she said, well, you know, we've got to do it, and, you know. And I said, well, you know, you can't, because Mercury only lasts about 3 weeks. So it wasn't like I'm saying, put this off for 6 months or a year. I'm saying, you know, wait those extra 12 days before you start it. And she goes, well, we've got to go. We've got to start it. I said, okay, but expect the unexpected. And during the filming, of course, you know, she ended up having problems with wisdom teeth, and her face got all swollen. They had to stop production, and then John Travolta got strep throat, and they had to stop, and then there was another problem, and they had to stop, and they had to stop, and they had to stop. And then, of course, when it came out, that movie, and I didn't think it was such a bad film. I kind of liked that film, but it just about ruined her career and John Travolta's. So, you know, it's like when, and then last year, Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphrey got married during Mercury retrograde. Well, 72 days later, that was over.
Yeah, but you know, were predicting that in all sorts of, you know, the gossipy kind of aspects. I mean, I don't get into a lot of the reality show stuff, but I do watch The Soup because it's hilarious. And that's about as much of the knowledge that I have of this stuff. But they were saying, that's not going to, why bother putting a pool about it? A betting pool. We're pretty sure. Yeah, that's doomed. And sure enough.
I have a question already from the chat room.
It is, okay.
It's from Patsy. Yay. And her is March 29th.
Okay.
And she wants to know, will she be able to help people spiritually or psychically?
Well, you know, she's an Aries, and Aries have a tremendous healing ability. In fact, they're very warm-blooded people. I mean, it's a fire sign, okay? But when you sit next to an Aries, you feel heat emanating out their body. I mean, it's really amazing, you know? And so here's this aspect where it shows that she has a healing ability. And so I think that that is going to be something that is going to take over, and that's going to be her path and her direction.
All right. Have you guys got one from anybody yet?
I have one.
Okay.
Do I need to give the... Yeah, I do need to give them day and month.
Right.
So
right.
December 2nd, and this is Mike.
December 2nd?
December 2nd. Mike.
Okay.
And this is a much less spiritual question.
Sure.
It is. Should he get an eye pad or a Kindle Fire?
I thought you were
going to
say eye patch there for a second.
No, iPad. iPad.
Getting ready for...
Well, you know, sorry, December 2nd, Sagittarians, you know, they love all their fancy little toys, you know. And you know what? I know this is going to sound like a weird thing, but I think the Sagittarius is going to end up buying both.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be content with just one, and I think they're going to get both. I think they'll buy one, and then I think they're going to decide that they're going to buy the other because they have to have that one as well. Remember, Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter, the planet of abundance.
Oh.
And they like a lot of things, a lot, not just one, you know. So it's like I'm feeling, you know, why settle? They're going to end up having both.
Yeah, they're
I have, you know, the election is coming up, and I did research. I wasn't going to do the candidates' charts because I thought, oh, you know, I'm just so sick of it already. But then when this aspect came up for the show, I thought, well, certainly it's going to be close enough to the election. There are probably going to be some real interest because, you know, the race is hotly contested and it's you know, it's so close. But I'll tell you something, it was amazing. And, you know, of course, Mitt Romney's real name is Willard. And
really?
Yeah, Willard.
Yeah.
Willard. And his middle name is Mitt. And at first I thought, you know, maybe Mitt was short for Mitchell or, you know, something, you know. But that's his middle name. So it's Willard Mitt Romney, and he's a Pisces. And, of course, Barack Obama, you know, is a Leo. And you know, whether, you know, whatever my personal choice is does not play in this. It does not play in this at all. I'm looking just at the aspects and where the planets are going to be for November the 6th, which is the day of the election, okay? And to me, based on the planetary placement for November the 6th, I'm sure that Barack Obama will be reelected.
Now, you, I don't know the significance of Mitt using a middle, starting with a middle name, with considering there are authors who do that all the time, like L. Frank Baum. But did you take into account that Obama's original name was Barry Satoru?
No, I just wanted to let you know that it was like I found that was interesting in researching this, that, you know, you're given all this information, you know, but, it, you know, astrology has nothing to do with numerology. So, again, like I said to you, the name, I don't need the name. I don't have to have the person's name whatsoever. I just need to know, you know, if we're going to do a personal reading, if it's a man or a woman. You know, but I really truly believe that Barack Obama will be reelected. Romney just has too many squares and difficulties that day. And, you know, it just seems like people, even in the GOP, are distancing themselves from him more and more every single day. So, you know, years ago...
They didn't want a winner just like last time. If they wanted somebody who wanted to beat the Democrats, they would have had Ron Paul in there. Just saying.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. I kind of felt in a way that Mitt Romney is Sarah Palin, you know, and I mean, it's almost like Sarah Palin was... the Republicans knew they weren't going to win, you know, after Bush left. That whoever was the Democratic nominee was going to be elected. And I think that, you know, John McCain is a good man. I mean, I don't have any problem with John McCain. I think he's a very good person. But I thought, you know, they just knew. It was almost like the sacrificial lamb. And I thought, you know, what are they going to do about the vice president? And then when they came up with Sarah Palin, I thought, well, they're going to put someone in there that is not going to be associated with this campaign whatsoever, and they're not going to have any of that fallout. So it'll be affecting them. But years ago, when Bush ran the very first time, George Bush, W., okay, and he was running against, you know, Al Gore, and people said to me, well, who do you think is going to win? And I said, Bush is going to win. And they said, oh, I can't believe you're for George. I said, I didn't say I'm for George Bush. I didn't say I'm for Al Gore. I'm telling you, the aspects show that George Bush will be the president. But remember, that election took place during a Mercury retrograde. And I said to people, but you know what? There could be a problem, and we may not know technically who the president is for a couple of days. And people said, oh, Donna, you're so stupid. You know, it's all computerized, blah, blah. And I said, I don't know. There's going to be something. There's going to be a problem. Well, of course, who doesn't remember the Chads in Florida? And, you know, almost having to do the whole election thing over again and it going to the Supreme Court and blah, blah, blah. Well, it wasn't just a few days. It took weeks before it was officially announced. But people said, well, what do you... I said, George Bush is the president. They can drag this out for as long as they want. He is the president. And so I truly believe the same with Barack, is that he will be reelected. Because Romney just does not have the aspects. You, especially because it would be, like with Barack winning the last time, he had spectacular aspects, and it was like, you know, here, now he's just being reelected, so the aspects are good in his chart. But for someone to be president, you know, to be elected the first time, you'd have to have something really dynamic in the chart for that day. And Romney does not have that in his chart for November the 6th. He just does not.
Interesting. Now, if we could delve into a little bit more astrology, shop talk here. We're in a period now of Uranus and Pluto squares. I think there's seven of them lined up, which it's obviously it's generational. It's not going to it doesn't affect every individual as much as it does affect populations. How do you see that playing into what's going on as far as the Occupy movements, what's going on in the Middle East?
Well, you know, I mean, it is really stressful. And I mean, you know, you do, you know, Uranus in Aries. Okay, remember in the Bible when they'd say, well, there was 7 years of famine and there was 7 years of abundance. And, you know, it has a seven-year cycle. Okay.
Yeah, it's like most actors' careers. Oh, wait.
Well, some are a little bit more blessed and some are a little bit less. But look at Kelsey Grammer. My God, that guy's just working.
Yeah.
And so he goes from one series to another in Broadway. You know, I mean, there's some people that, you know, are really blessed that they work a lot, you know. I just feel that we're going to continue to see the stress because, you know, Aries is the planet of war and temperament, you know, because of the Mars aspect. So here's the sign Aries and its ruling planet Mars. And with Uranus being in Aries, you know, it's a very volatile aspect. Now, Neptune in Pisces, you know, there's a yin and yang to every sign. And the positive aspect, because that's an exalted position. That's the natural ruler of that planet and that sign, okay? So it's usually a very good aspect. But the positive aspect of Neptune in Pisces is visionary. It is something that can be creative. It's the sign of ESP, so it shows people can be intuitive, heightened aware of sensitivity. But the negative aspect, and, you know, Neptune right now is retrograde. It won't go direct until the 12th of November. The negative aspect is fraud and deception. And when the whole GOP thing started, there was so much fraud, even with Herman Cain and Newt Gingrich. And here, you know, finally Romney just in the last 2 days has come up with one more year of his income tax returns and this and that. It's almost like the Republican Party has just been inundated with things that have undermined their whole process for this campaign because there's been so much deception. And it's just come out and it's come out and it's come out. And you're thinking, well, you know, who can you trust?
They don't exactly have a monopoly on deception.
Well, no, that's true. And, you know, of course, look at Clinton. I did not have sex with that woman, okay? So, I mean, it's like, that's true. But when you're thinking about a party that's trying to put their best face forward and they're not even unified within their own party, and until they get that candidate, the Republican Party won't be strong again. Now, I voted for Clinton years ago. I did. But then I was so unhappy with the whole Monica Lewinsky thing, and I was so turned off by that. I did vote for George Bush both times. I did. So I'm not really a Democrat. I'm not really a Republican. I am nonpartisan, and I vote more for the person than I vote really for the party. But I'm just saying that right now, the Republican Party is not in a very good aspect. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing with the Middle East, and that fighting is going to continue, and that is unfortunate. And, you know, I hate to feel that that could escalate, but, you know, Uranus is going to be in Aries for at least another 5 years. And so we're still going to have conflicts, and it is going to be predominantly in the Middle East.
Wow. There you go. Predictions already, which we're going to get a lot more in a little bit. But it is time for us to go ahead and take a break. And I do want to thank everybody for the questions that you've sent in. We will get right back to our guest in just a little bit. But I think, Cece, I think you should kind of take us out for a break. How's that sound?
I'll try my best. You are listening to The Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network. Please come back, stay with us, have a drink. We'll be right back after these lovely little songs cooked up by Henry Foister.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
A cambric shirt, a deep forest green. Parsley's angels, Mary and Tom, and snow-crested brown, without no sleep or night, over close the child of the mountain. She'll be a true love of sleep's high, aware of a cloudy and calm. Tell her to find me as a girl of land, a sprinkling of gleam. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and blushes that are good summer and tears. Between the salt water and sunshine strands and polishes of gun, she'll be a true love of mine. Tell her to reap it in a sickle billows blazing in scarlet battalions. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and gerald's born in the soldiers to kill. And gather it all, and to fight for shall pillars they long ago forgotten. She'll be a true love of mine. Scarborough Fair, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine.
To be a plumber to investigate the paranormal. Everyone is welcome to the Para-X Radio Network. Tune in 7 days a week for great shows and special live events. 24 hours a day, Para-X is the place for paranormal talk. So whether you're a plumber or just another axe-throwing dragon, Para-X is your source for everything paranormal.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Paranormal View right here on the Para-X Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight and for all those lovely people from around the world. We got a great guest tonight, and Kat, I'm going to have you give out all the little pertinent little things there.
Okay, so for the listeners tonight who are interested in getting a short, I can now remember how to pronounce that word. Prairie.
Prairie.
Yeah. Yes, Prairie. Thank you. Reading from tonight's guest, Donna, please either PM myself, CC, Barbara Duncan, Jeff, or Henry in the chat room, or you can email us at theparanormalview@gmail.com.
It's really easy to remember. It's a long way to Prairie. Oh, wait.
It's a long way there.
Well, actually, I was surprised, Donna, that you pronounced that sign Libra. I've never heard it pronounced that way. I've always heard it pronounced Libra.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the woman I studied with, Angela Gallo, she said that it came from the word librarian. So that's the way she pronounced it. She always said Libra. And so, you know, what did I know? I just followed her lead.
Yeah.
And so I just always pronounced it the way that she told me that's the way it was pronounced, and you know, she did use the reference that it came from the word librarian, and I thought,
and so,
okay.
So does the word libretto for an opera.
Yes. So, I mean, to me, Libra, Libra, potato, potato, it doesn't make
there
any
you
difference
go.
To me.
And tomato.
I mean, some people feel comfortable saying, you know, Libra, Libra. I mean, it's like I said, well, okay, you know, they're both correct.
Ah, okay. Well, at least it's not pronounced Taurus, I guess, as long as
it's... Yeah. Now, what else did you want to know?
Well, I had a question.
Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, and I've been trying to figure out how to phrase it. So my birthday is March 22nd. So go Patsy okay. for being an Aries too. And it is, will my comic be successful?
Your what?
Comic.
Strip.
Graphic novel.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? The interesting thing for Aries right now, because of you know, Uranus being in Aries, and this being, you know, it's at 6 degrees, but, you know, the sun will go through a sign in a month. The moon will go through a sign in 2 or 3 days. So, I mean, in 1 month, the moon goes through all 12 houses and all 12 signs, and that's why we have a full moon once a month. But then as you start to go out with the other planets, the further you go out there, the longer it takes them to go through a particular sign. And so, you know, sometimes you're talking about decades, you know, so, I mean, it's just unbelievable. So I would say that you are definitely in a cycle of change, and that's the most interesting thing that's happening for Aries right now. Uranus is being struck by lightning. It is flash inspiration. It is something out of the blue, and it can really change your life in a heartbeat. And so Aries are going through cycles right now where it's like there's no longer the status quo. What you've done before is more or less in the past, and depending upon, you know, the degree of your sun sign, you know, and of course you're at the very beginning, that you're in that first, you know, when they talk about the decade, you know, here you are, you will make a big change. And I do tend to feel that if this is something that you've pursued and you've had like on the back burner, this is the time now. I think this is going to go, and I think it's going to be very significant. In fact, I think it's probably going to be the thing that's going to make you, you'll be known more for this than anything else you've done.
Ooh, that gives me confidence.
All right.
I find it funny that it both in the Greek astrology, the zodiac, and both the Chinese one, I'm the first sign. Like, I'm Aries, and I'm a boar. So,
well, you know, I'll tell you, Aries is, there was a time in Hollywood when Hollywood was literally run by Aries women. Betty Davis, Joan Crawford, Doris Day, Jane Powell, Debbie Reynolds. I mean, Aries women are very, very strong women. And, you know, men are very drawn to them. But, you know, the one thing that Aries probably have the most difficulty with are personal relationships, because the women are so strong. And when a man comes to me and they say, well, I'm in love with this Aries woman, and right away, before we begin anything, I say, what you see is what you get. And don't try to change her, because this is who she is. And that's the truth. Aries women are, you know, it's a male sign ruled by the male planet. So Aries women are not shy, passive, weak women. They're strong. They're very strong women.
Wow.
Would you agree, Henry?
Yes.
Strong woman. I know my husband would agree with that.
Speaking of Aries women, we had a question in the chat room regarding that as to what signs are compatible with Aries.
Well, you know, Aries, you know, it's a cardinal quality. And so, you know, the cardinal signs are, you know, Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. And it's one of those signs that say, is it the right time? Is it the right color? How's it going to affect this one? How's it going to affect that one? They have a horrible fear of not making a decision, but making the wrong decision. So you'll find Aries with almost every sign of the zodiac. I mean, it's like they'll find a certain connection. They're drawn to someone that's going to focus on them, though. That's the most important thing, that the partner that you're with, that you're going to be the happiest with, is going to be someone who's going to be your cheerleader, someone who is going to be very supportive of you and what your dream and your goal is. And so you'd find that a Leo and a Sagittarius, even though they're the other fire signs, there's almost too much competition. It would have to be an extraordinary, you know, Leo or a Sagittarius that didn't have much of an ego, and where the hell is that, that would be supportive of an Aries woman. Now, you look at, you know, Kristen Stewart, okay, and Rob Pattison, okay, and they're a little upset, and she's an Aries and he's a Taurus. But he adores her. And so it's interesting because it's like that's why she wants him back. She wants someone who's going to be supportive of her. So you're going to find that the Aries, you know, it all depends. When you do a comparison chart or compatibility chart to see if two people, you know, belong together, you usually look to the man's Mars because that's the symbol of the man, and you look to the woman's Venus, you see, because Venus, of course, is the symbol of the woman. And if that aspect of the Mars to Venus has like a trine or a conjunction or, you know, a sextile, it will show an attraction. But sometimes, you know, it can be very difficult. Now, you'd think that there wouldn't be a good aspect between a Libra and an Aries because they're opposite signs, but it's fire and air, which could actually be pretty compatible. So I would think that if an Aries would stay away from Sagittarius and Leo, of course there's always exceptions to the rule, they could probably get along with just about any sign of the zodiac as long as that person was going to be supportive of them.
I do have a question from the chat room, and it's from Karen, and hers is April the 1st, and she wants to know that if she moves, is she staying in the state or going to go to another state?
Well, because of, see, isn't it interesting how we have this Aries energy tonight? I mean, isn't that kind of fascinating? I would say that it would probably be out of state simply because of the fact of Uranus being in Aries. It shows something unusual and unique, something very different, something not your standard path or direction. But she would be better off making that move after December the 15th because of the aspect that, you know, Uranus is retrograde right now. It won't go direct until December 15th. So I would say, you know, the move is coming. It's definitely going to happen, and it probably will be out of state. But if she can put it off until after December the 15th, it'll be a much easier transition.
All right. Now, I also have another one. This one is from Ladine, and her birth date is September 20th, and she wants to know... She wants to know what is the next step on her life's path.
Well, you know, this person's a Virgo, and of course I'm a Virgo, so they are the salt of the earth. What can I say? I'm not going to be dissing on those Virgos. We're great people. I think that Virgos right now at this point in their life, and it doesn't have anything to do with the age, okay, I think that there's, Virgo is the sign of service. And Virgos can be very loving, very giving people, but the way the other aspects, the other planets are affecting Virgo right now, there's a part of them that is being led into a direction of doing something that is more, something that's going to make them happy. And, you know, Mother Teresa of Bangladesh, God bless her, she was a Virgo. But, you know, we don't all have to be long-suffering and just constantly giving, giving, giving to other people. So I would say that if this Virgo does a little soul searching, and the most important question for them to ask themselves right now is, what is going to make me, what's going to make me happy? That is the direction that that Virgo needs to follow. They need to do something that is going to be something that's going to bring them joy and happiness and fulfillment, and as a result, they'll be successful at that instead of constantly doing for the other person. So I think that Virgos are going to go into a cycle where, you know, they're not being more selfish, they're just being like everybody else, but they do need to put themselves in that, you know, kind of like picture, like, you know, what's going to be good for me?
All right. Now, I do have more questions. They're just popping in all over the place. I got one from Kate. Her birth date is 5/13.
Okay, a Taurus.
And let's see here. How does the next 3 months look for her?
All right, well, you know, I feel that what they should, they've been doing, you know, all the earth signs, the Taurus, the Virgos, and the Capricorns, they're very diligent people. You know, I always feel that if anybody in personnel had even a little insight into astrology, they would hire the right people for the right positions. Because the earth signs get the job done. They're diligent, they're hardworking, they're loyal. You know, I mean, you know, they're steadfast. Usually their word is their bond. So I would say that this Taurus has got a couple things in the works, and I feel that between now and around the 8th of November, they need to implement some of these things. They need to get them in the works. And not to be, of course, I'm saying they shouldn't be lackadaisical, but I don't believe that an earth sign would be. But, you know, today's better than, you know, putting it off until tomorrow or next week. You know what I'm saying? Get it in the works. And then just let it kind of play through that retrograde, November 8th through November the 28th, because you never give an ultimatum during a Mercury retrograde, because if you do, you force the issue. You're far more likely to get the answer you don't want than the answer you do want. So you just kind of let it play, and then after the 28th of November, then you can really kind of put on, you know, the pressure and the steam and move ahead again. But I think things will be resolved. I think there's a change. A lot of people, because the last 3 years have been very difficult, and, you know, one of the biggest changes that is going to take place, and I mean very shortly, Saturn will leave the sign of Libra and it will go into the sign of Scorpio on the 6th of October. And that is going to make a dramatic change in many, many people's lives. Now, it won't be so easy for Scorpios. It's going to be a kind of a hard time for Scorpios because Saturn is the great teacher. But this aspect of Saturn and Libra, it's like, you know, wanting to please everyone and back and forth and not getting anything done. And, you know, Scorpio is much more decisive. And so you're going to feel that everybody is going to get more serious about the job at hand. So I think this Taurus knows the direction they need to go in, and it's already something in the works. They're just waiting for that little window of opportunity to open up, and I think that's, it's here. Don't wait.
All right. We've got questions just coming in all over the place. Cece, you said you had one?
I do. It's from Jensai, I believe her name is. Her birthday is April 13th, and she'd like to know if, or he, I'm sorry, would like to, should they change careers or stay in the same one and excel?
Now, don't you think it's interesting how many people have reached out and they're Aries? I mean, mm-hmm. Do you not feel the energy of Aries tonight? I mean, it's just remarkable. And they are feeling, yeah, they're really feeling there's about something that's, you know, like that sense of anticipation and something is about to change and break through. And a lot of that is that, you know, that Saturn aspect, you know, has been in opposition to Aries. And Aries, you know, Aries is probably one of the most ambitious signs I deal with. And I really like Aries a lot. I have a lot of strong Aries friends and associates. And I like that they're bright. You know, they're extremely bright people. You know, they're middle brain people because they rule the entire, you know, the part of the body they rule is the head and the face. So they rule the entire mind. They're not ruled just by the left or the right-hand side of the brain. They're ruled, they're middle brain people. So they can be ambidextrous and they can be artistic and creative and yet very, you know, very dogmatic, and they can be very precise and mathematical and scientific. They have the best of both worlds. And I really feel that the last 3 years has been so difficult for them. It's just been one challenge after the other, and no matter how hard they've tried to push ahead, it's like they've been blocked, and there's been delays and setbacks, and they're in a holding pattern. And, I mean, they're strong people, but I've had a lot of Aries call and just break down in tears saying, when is this going to end? I can't take this anymore. It's so frustrating. And so I feel that, you know, it's like here's a thoroughbred racehorse ready for the gate to open, and they just want to break out as fast as they can. And I do believe that is going to start happening in the first 2 weeks of October. You're going to see a lot of movement for Aries people. So I think this Aries person, again, they've got more than one iron in the fire. And the good news is that more than one thing can, you know, it's like all of a sudden, you know, you're nobody until you're somebody. And then it's like, you know, now what else do you have? So I feel that it's like this opportunity is just going to open up. It's one thing's going to lead to something else and something else and something else. And it's their time.
Wow. Okay, I've got another one here. Let's see here. It's from Karen again, and it's from her mom. Her mom's birthday is March the 2nd. Her name is Cheryl. And she wanted to know that, is she going to be moving with Karen to wherever she moves to?
Well, she'll move with her for a while, and she'll be there, you know, in this transition. But then there's going to be a change for her. And, I mean, they'll still be close, but they won't be living together. I think there's going to be an opportunity that's going to open up for her mother. And I get the feeling of someone coming into her mother's life that's going to be very instrumental in that change taking place. But they'll make the move together at the beginning, but then they won't be living together for very long.
Hmm. All right. There you go. Anybody else got any come in?
Oh, I guess you could always do Henry. Oh.
Yeah, okay, Henry. I haven't had anyone.
And I can't remember. Did you say you had stuff that you'd already wrote up and stuff?
Oh, I thought you were going to say you couldn't remember your birthday.
I know. I know when that was. Yeah, I wouldn't mind what's coming up, looking, there's some things that might be taking place, January 22nd.
Now, that's your birthday, January 22nd.
Yep.
Okay, so, all right, so we're there in the Aquarius aspect. You know what, so this is a question for you, Henry?
Yeah.
Okay, the most interesting thing, now, I'm not saying that this format is not a wonderful format for you, but there's going to be an opportunity. And, you know, when I do readings for people, and I'm not psychic, you know, I never misrepresent myself. I never pretend to be something I'm not, okay? I'm an astrologer. And I could not do a reading for someone unless I had their chart in front of me. So, I mean, I always make that very clear to people. But then sometimes when you're doing the reading, it's like all of a sudden, and as you know, they're all kind of interconnected, and people will say, oh, you know, you're telling me the same thing this numerologist told me, or I had my palm read, and it's very similar to what you're telling me. And so, you know, they're all kind of interconnected, okay? They're linked to one another, okay? So if you're open on one level of spirituality, other things can come in. And many times when I've done a reading for someone, I'll use an example, and I'll say, well, you know, it's like this. You know, and years ago when I had done Olivia de Havilland's chart, and, you know, who doesn't remember Olivia de Havilland and Gone with the Wind?
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, a forever classic. And she had come to me for a reading. Robert Osborne brought her to me, and so I was thrilled to death to do her reading. I mean, this was many years ago. And so, you know, she lived in Paris, and I said, well, I see you doing a mini-series. And I thought, well, I want to make sure she understands what, you know, a mini-series is. And so, you know, because I wanted her to get the full impact of what I was trying to tell her. And at the time, Captains and the Kings had been successful, and Rich Man, Poor Man. And so I stopped for a second, and I got very quiet. And I said, you know, it's going to be like Roots. Because I thought, well, Roots was such a phenomenal success. I mean, it was everybody in the world knew it. It wasn't just something that was known in the United States. And I told her a certain time, she'd get the information and stuff. Well, she called me a few months later, and she said, oh, I've gotten my mini-series. And I said, really? What is it? And she goes, it's Roots 2. Yes, so it was like, you know, it's going to be like Roots. Well, when I think about you, Henry, I think about Howard Stern. Now, okay, maybe you don't like that analogy, but I feel...
I think it's hilarious, personally.
He's kind of gruff and, you know, whatever. But, you know, he is successful, and he you know, he what he does, he's very good at. I get that energy around you, that you could be the next Howard Stern, that there is going to be something that is going to explode. It's going to explode, and this opportunity is going to present itself to you, and so it's just this massive thing. And in a way, when it's presented to you, it's going to be a little bit intimidating, but it's not anything you haven't already done, Henry. You're going to be able to do it. So don't be afraid. Just like with Eric Estrada, reach out. It's right there.
It's right there. All right. That sounds
good.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. I've got one more that we want to jump on here before we go to another break. This one is from Patty, and hers is March the 24th, and she wants to know, will there be someone special soon in her life as far as relationship?
Aries
and another Aries. What is this, the Aries show or what? All right, so she wants to know if she's going to meet someone special soon.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what's interesting is that Aries women want someone to love and adore them, but they don't want someone to control them. And there's someone on the sidelines that cares a great deal for her, but I don't know if this person is strong enough for her, and she thinks of this person more as a friend than a potential partner. She's looking for something, you know, like the George Clooney, and here's this really nice guy, you know, on the side that you know is like he's a wonderful person, but it's like she doesn't see that this is the one that could really make her the happiest. So I'd say, you know, if she has to get in her mind what kind of person she really wants, because it's certainly not that there's no one not interested. There are people around her that are interested in her right now. It's just that she's not interested in them.
Ah.
And so if she's waiting for Mr. Right, okay, again, as Saturn leaves Libra, a lot of things will open up for Aries people. Saturn has been, you know, for an example, people say, well, you know, why is Saturn such a bad guy? And it's not, because every single planet has a yin and a yang, okay, a good and a bad. But Saturn can be the planet of limitations and restrictions, and it is the great teacher. And when it goes into a sign, people who are born under that sign usually have a 3-year period of big heavy duty things. And to use a good example, Michael Douglas, the actor, is a Libra, and his wife is a Libra. They're born the same day, but you know, 3 years apart. Yeah. And when you think about what has happened for him in the last 3 years, especially the year that, you know, he was diagnosed with throat cancer. I mean, his son was arrested and went to court and is in jail. You know, his ex-wife was suing him for additional money. There was another problem health-wise for Kirk Douglas, and then he got throat cancer. And then after he was going through it, then Catherine Zeta-Jones went into rehab to, you know, because of bipolar. And it was just, and then, one more thing. So now it will go into Scorpios, and unfortunately, Scorpios are going to have their little trials and tribulations coming up, and it'll go from October the 6th of 2012 through September the 19th of 2015. But the opposition, in astrology, there are aspects, and there are trines, which show luck and success. There are squares, which are obstacles. There's oppositions, which are strong difficulties. There's sextiles, which show growth and opportunity. So there's good and bad aspects. When you have an opposition, you're stuck. You're opposed. You're blocked. And, you know, with Saturn being in Libra and being in opposition to Aries, you know, again, they don't want to wait. They wanted it yesterday or maybe even a week ago. They don't want to wait until tomorrow or next week. They want it right now. They have no patience whatsoever. And so can you imagine being in a cycle for 3 years where it's like hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait? So no wonder so many Aries are, because they've had it. They're done. They can't take this any longer. But after the 6th of October, it's like all of a sudden now it's like you get 20 miles of green lights. And so it's like everything's going to start to move forward very quickly.
Okay, and just because you brought it up, is George Clooney a confirmed bachelor by his chart?
Well, you know, I haven't done George Clooney's chart, but it's so interesting. You know, when you talk about 6 degrees of separation, it's like I have been like 2 degrees away from George Clooney for years and years and years. And years ago, Kelly Preston came to me for a reading after she had done Twins with, you know, DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and her career was going very well. And she wanted to know about love, and she came, and so I did her chart. And, you know, I'm pretty funny, you know, and so I always want to put it on kind of a light note, you know. People don't leave the reading in tears or devastated. I mean, unless, you know, you touch on something that's very personal. But most of the time I want to enlighten people. I want to lift them up. And so I said to her, you know, I hate to tell you this because I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy, but I think you're going to marry an actor. You know, and she started laughing, and she said, well, I'm dating an actor. And I said, really? Who? And she says, George Clooney. And I said, well, you're not going to marry George. And I said, I know George because he was on Roseanne's show, you know, and I had done Roseanne's chart. And I like George. You know, I mean, who? You know, George is George. He's so personable. And I said, but I don't think you're going to marry George, because at that time he was known more just for his television work. He hadn't done any films yet. So I said, I really see you marrying a film actor. Well, you know, then she went on to Charlie Sheen's. That didn't work out very well. But then she ended up with Travolta. So it's very interesting because, you know, I do feel that some people, you know, maybe George Clooney will decide, you know, look at Cary Grant. He married a lot of women over the years, but then as he got older, it was like he was pretty happy settling down with this one woman. And sometimes it takes certain men to be at a certain point where they're older and they just want to settle down then.
Nice.
You know, you've read all kinds of the stars, and you've probably got some great stories about them. But we've also got a lot of questions still to get to. However, I think it's almost time for us to take another quick break and let everybody get a chance to stretch their legs and run and get something to drink or whatever. I do want to thank everybody for listening tonight, not only here in the chat room, but from around the world. And whose turn is it to take us out for a breaky?
Usually me. I thought you were going to say where we have listeners from, or do you not know yet at the moment?
Yes, I'll check during break.
Cool. Well, everyone, thank you for listening. You're listening to The Paranormal View at power-x.com with hosts Henry Foyster, Cat Loco, Ceiling Cat, Barbara Duncan, and myself, Jeffrey Gould, with our astrology guest, Donna Helen Hennen. I keep wanting to say Helen. I'm sorry. So stay tuned. I'm sorry?
I said that's fine.
Oh, okay. Our guest, Donna Hennen. So stay tuned for more Paranormal View after this musical interlude.
Hey. explaining the way I'm feeling for all the jealousy I caused you. The snake's the reason why I'm trying to hide. As for all the things you taught me, it sends my future into clearer dimensions.
The shows are paranormal, not stuffy but informal. The topics are abnormal, the Parex family.
They're strange, deranged, unrestrained.
So grab your favorite brew, it's time to rendezvous, as we give awards to the Parex family.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Paranormal View right here on the Para-X Radio Network. Want to thank everybody. Chat room is filled up real nice. And those listening from around the world, we appreciate you being here with us. If you'd like, you can come over to para-x.com and just join in the chat room with all these wonderful people. And you can also interact with us and the guests by private chatting either Jeffrey, myself.
Hello.
Cat or Ceiling Cat, Cece, or Barbara Duncan. She has three different names that goes by. So I want to welcome back our guest, Donna Hennen. And just to let everybody know, tonight we have listeners from the U.S., Canada, and Italy. So,
wow, that's new.
Yeah. Welcome, everybody. So, Cece, did you say, Kat, you said we got a question from the email?
Email, yes.
First, before you do that one, why don't you give all that information out again in case somebody else wants to send one in?
Okay, so for all the listeners tonight, if you have a question and would like to have it answered via a query. Query? Man, that's the word that's tripping me up tonight. Reading from our guest tonight, Donna, please email us at theparanormalview@gmail.com, or you may private message myself, Kat, known as Kat, the Paranormal View co-host, in the chat room, Henry, Ceiling Cat, Barbara, or Jeff.
Jeffrey, did we lose Jeffrey? You?
Yeah, she got a Skype decided it didn't censor out my name there for a second.
Oh,
yeah, you've been cutting out a little bit, but that's okay. We'll continue on. How does that sound?
Yeah.
What is the question that you got?
So our question is from Sue, and her March 10th, and she asks, any changes in the next 3 months with work, home, or money?
All right, so you said March the 10th?
Yes.
Okay, all right, so we're dealing with the Pisces, and you know what, there are some changes, but you know what, there's a part of me that wants to say to this Pisces, slow and steady, because, you know, your ruling planet Neptune is in this holding pattern, which is referred to as being retrograde, and that doesn't go direct until November the 12th. There's a part of me that it's like you could make a change, but then it would be something that you'd say, well, I didn't know that. Why didn't you tell me that? That was a pertinent part of the information that would, you know, I needed to know. So there's that little aspect of not necessarily just deception, but things not being as clear as they could be and not maybe being on the same page. So I'm going to tell her something a psychic told me many, many years ago. Timing is everything. And I really, truly believe that, yes, there's going to be changes, but things seem to move in a more positive direction without so much resistance at the end of November, the beginning of December. And you know what? If God, of course, could create the world in you know, 6 days and then take the seventh day off, a lot can be accomplished in a short period of time. So you have to realize that right now, it's like this would be premature. You want to start getting all your facts and your little dominoes in a row, but do not make that change until the beginning of December, because there could be something else that could come in between now and then that might be a better opportunity.
All right. So have you guys got any other questions come in yet?
That's the only one for me.
All right.
Well, as an actor myself, and with an April 29th birthday, I was curious as to how successful would either and or both of two other state feature films projects on which I'll be working next year.
Well, you know, right now, you know, of course, Taurus, I love Taurus. You know, what's not to like about that sign? You know, it's a beautiful sign. It's ruled by Venus, which is love, peace, harmony, beauty, and attraction. I mean, what's not to like? And in the Hariri chart for tonight, Taurus is the sign that rules the house of money. And so aspect-wise, you know, you're talking about projects. You're in a very, very good money cycle in this next year. And so you're going to be pleasantly surprised. And again, it shows that there's, you know, more than one opportunity. One thing is going to open the door. So it's not just one in lieu of the other. It's one in addition to. So I would say that, you know how sometimes these people say, well, I'm committed for projects for the next year and a half. I mean, you know, you say, well, you're blessed with work. You know, good for you. You're going to be in that similar kind of cycle. So it's interesting because it shows that there's opportunities coming up. And you know, the one that you think, that's actually going to be the hit.
I rarely think of things as hits. If I'm offered stuff, I don't often look at things and say, eh. I really look at them to see whether or not they're good or really.
But you know how sometimes it's like you'll say, okay, well, would you rather do, you know, this big thing, you know, with Jennifer Aniston, or would you rather do this, like, little independent, and sometimes those little independent films, you know, those things that people, you know, because when Sleepless in Seattle came out, they said it was the sleeper hit. You know, it was like, oh, it's this little romantic comedy with Tom Hanks and you know, Meg Ryan, and that turned out to be a huge success. And so I'm not saying that, you know, neither one of these projects is not a good project, but it's the one that you're saying, yeah, you know, I like it. That's going to prove to be the surprise hit for you that's actually going to open the door for a lot of other things.
Well, both films are independents and very low-budgety kind of things.
I like those films. Those are my favorite kind of films.
There you go. Cool.
Now, Barbara, you have something you wanted to ask also.
I do. Well, because Clooney just doesn't seem to be available or answering my phone calls. The relationship question is my status going to change in the next few months? I'm 7/16, July 16th.
Okay, so July the 16th. Well, you know, it's interesting that you being a Cancer, okay, and Jupiter is in Gemini right now, but it will go into Cancer on June the 27th of 2013. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's not today, okay? But when it goes into the sign of Cancer, things change. Now, you could have a change. I feel spring, early summer of next year, there could be a change of residence. There can be a change of location. Your whole life is going to be very, very different in 2013. So I know sometimes, you know, people want to have that, you know, instant gratification and they want something done like, you know, tomorrow or next week. But I really truly believe that in 2013, it's going to be one of the happiest times you've had in a long time. And I don't think it's going to have to be in lieu of one or the other. I think that you can have, you know, your professional life can be doing well, but your personal life can be doing well. I think that, you know, when people say I'm blessed, you know, they're at one with themselves and everything kind of comes beautifully together. I love that word synchronicity. It's one of my very favorite words because it's like everything just comes together. Being at the right place at the right time with the right person. And you could have a little relationship with someone between now and maybe, let's say, January, and it's very pleasant, but I don't think this is going to be the one. I think the one's coming in 2013.
Oh, okay.
And I think you'll be very happy with that person.
All right.
Great.
There we go.
Good news.
Now, with the way everything's going in the Middle East and things just aren't looking good for the world and everything else, how bad is the hard times, you might say, that we might be looking for in the next 6 months or a year?
I'm more worried about really the weather patterns. You know, a couple of years ago when Uranus was in Pisces, not that long ago, 3 years ago, I knew there would be unexpected water, and I kept saying to people, stay away from the islands. I'm very, very concerned about the islands. And, you know, then, of course, you know, Katrina and hurricanes and tsunamis, and, you know, it was just water, 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 water everywhere. And, you know, when they talk about that ring of fire, you know, when you thought about all the earthquakes and everything like that, and then as a result of that, then, you know, the tsunamis, I mean, it was just absolutely horrible with the flooding. Now that Uranus is in Aries, Aries is a fire sign, and look at the drought and the fires and the temperatures increasing. I mean, tornadoes are not going to be something that are going to be just, oh, well, you know. I really believe people in the Midwest, remember in Wizard of Oz when they had storm cellars? Mm-hmm. I really, truly believe that people need to, when they do the rebuilding, just like they did in New Orleans, and they built, you know, the properties up off the ground, you know, so it wasn't on the ground, you know, all that building that Brad Pitt and a lot of other people have done where they actually have the foundation of the houses like almost 3-4 feet up off the ground. So if there is water coming in, it's not flooding the houses, you know. We're going to see tornadoes. There's going to be like a hurricane season, but there's going to be a tornado season every single year for the next 5 years. And so I think that the biggest threat to the United States isn't so much a foreign. You know, there's always going to be wars, and I hate to say that. It's depressing, and it's upsetting, and I could go on and on about the whole mess in the Middle East. You know, there's always going to be fighting there. There always has been fighting there. There always will be fighting there. But my main concern is about the United States and the things that we're going to have to be facing in this country. And, you know, you think back, I mean, I wasn't alive during the Dust Bowl. I'm old, but I'm not that old. But, you know, there were times when it was like, you know, there was just dirt. There was just dirt and dust. And I'm afraid that what the farmers have gone through this last season can be repeated next year, and I think the temperatures are going to continue to rise. I think that it's not going to be unusual to see these different places with 118, 120, 122 degrees during the summer.
Yeah, I know things seem to have gotten warmer. I remember back in the 60s, early 60s, when I was young, the river down here in Hamilton, I've known it many a times to be completely frozen over to where you can walk across it. We haven't seen that probably in the past 15, 20 years. It just doesn't get that cold at that long of a period of time anymore.
Now, well, I'll tell you, I'm really concerned about the tornadoes. And, you know, we saw weather conditions on the East Coast this year that were just, there was even an earthquake. Remember that a few months ago on the East Coast? And it was like people going, what? You know, what's that all about? So it's like, yes, we're always going to have the hurricanes, but I think the thing that is going to do more damage than earthquakes or hurricanes, it's going to be the tornadoes. It's going to be that unexpected hot air. And that's what Uranus and Aries is. And, you know, they can just come up out of nowhere. And, I mean, look what happened in Joplin, Missouri last year. It was devastating. I mean, it looked like a nuclear bomb just went off. That town was leveled.
Yeah.
And so the only place you're really safe is underground. And so people who have any, you know, something smart, you know, would start investing in storm cellars again. Because, I mean, even when you're in the basement of a house, if you have a basement, you know, I mean, the house can collapse and you can be buried alive in the basement. Some people survive, some people don't. But the storm cellars, there's something there about actually being underground, you know, that you have a better chance of, like, really surviving than above ground.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm concerned about Japan and South Korea. Just, they're going through issues right now, along with Taiwan. I'm just always concerned about them, and they're getting some massive typhoons.
Well, you know, I mean, really, it is kind of frightening when you think about the weather conditions, but you think about, you know, the political situations. And, you know, I just don't understand. You know, we're all people. We all have the same wants and needs. And we're not really all that different, you know, deep down inside, you know. And yet, you know, these people doing this film you know, we're supposed to be respectful. You know, I mean, it's like when the pilgrims came here, it was supposed to be that we could experience religious freedom and this and that. But it's like, I don't know. When Mercury goes retrograde in November, which will be November the 8th through November the 28th, okay, it starts off in the sign of Sagittarius, which is going to be very verbal. And even though the election will take place prior to the retrograde, okay, there will be some discussion about some places and the polling and this and that. So there will be some debate because it will take place 2 days after the election. Now, it's not going to be the same thing that happened with Gore and Bush, okay? But there will be some talk about some improprieties or this or that or whatever. You just expect that. But then there will be some other, like, altercation with some kind of either embassy or something like that from the 15th of November to the 28th. And, you know, it's going to be another thing that is going to be in retaliation of this or that or whatever. So Scorpio is revenge. It is the sign of revenge.
And, so are we looking at another 9/11?
I don't think there'll be 9/11, and I don't think it will take place in this country, but I think it will probably affect our embassies. I think at this point in foreign countries are definitely at risk between now and the end of the year.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's something that they're going to have to continue to... Think back when Clinton was leaving office, and right there in September of that year, and it was just prior to the election, remember when that boat came along the coal?
Right.
Yes, and they blew the hole, and then it's like nobody did anything about that because they didn't want to upset the possible effects of the election. So they really did not answer that aggression towards the boat, you know, the ship. Well, then the following September, hello, was 9/11. So it was like they were almost kind of, you know, in a way, testing the waters to see, you know, what our weakness was, what we were going to do, what was going to happen. And so it's interesting. I certainly don't think that this attack on the embassy was simply just because of the film. I think, you know, it's close to the election. I think that, you know, they want to disturb the, you know, terrorism is to create terror. And that's what it's all about. And so, but any time we have a retrograde and it's affecting a Scorpio aspect, you got to look towards something where there's an aspect of revenge or some kind of intensity. Now, Scorpio, there's two symbols for Scorpio. One is the eagle, which is supposed to be the more spiritual of the aspect. They soar high in the sky. They're very evolved. You know, they're very developed. They can be very spiritually evolved people. And then, of course, there's the scorpion, which everybody knows about. And they can sting themselves to death, and other people do. So they can be very lethal and dangerous. And be careful of that scorpion, you know. And so when you have a retrograde aspect, instead of having the positive energy of the sign, you tend to have the negative aspect of the sign. So you're going to hear a lot of people, there's going to be a lot of altercations, people are going to be fighting. When I'm doing people's charts, I'll say, because it's right around Thanksgiving, I'm saying keep Thanksgiving very simple, very low-key, less is more. You know, don't plan that is the big family celebration this year. Christmas and New Year's are going to be much better aspected. Just keep Thanksgiving very simple, very simple.
I do have another question from the chat room. And let's see if I can find it again. All right. This one is from Doug. And his date is 6/23.
And okay.
He would like to know where his work is headed.
Where his work is headed?
Yeah. I think it's more okay. Like... what's in store okay. for him with his work?
Okay, well, you know, being a Cancer, you know, Cancer, you know, it's the one sign of the zodiac that's truly strong enough to be gentle. Isn't that an interesting... When you think about that, you go, what kind of person would be strong enough to be gentle? And it's a very, very interesting sign because there's more prize fighters born in the sign of Cancer, and yet there's more musicians and chefs and veterinarians. And, you know, they have that strong desire to protect because it is the symbol of the mother, and Cancers can be very maternal. Even Cancer men can be very maternal and nurturing and very protective. And yet, you know, they can be very strong. They can be very strong people. They have unusual hands, Cancers. They can refinish tables. They can dig in the dirt. They're not afraid of getting their hands dirty. But when they touch you, there's a certain gentleness and compassion in their touch that they can be very healing. And you can find a lot of physical therapists and you know, people that do healing work with the hands. And you know, they're usually very good gardeners. You know, not all. You can't make just one big general statement for one sign. But those are things that Cancers kind of lean towards. And so I would say that aspect-wise, without looking at his chart, okay, and knowing all the, you know, the facts and so forth, I would say developing something, creating something, nurturing it, it almost feels like moving in the direction of maybe even beginning his own business or starting something that, you know, he can take from scratch and move it on. I do feel there's going to be tremendous successes for Cancers in 2013 and 2014. I think that they're going to be in such a good place. I think they're going to be happier than they have been for a long time. I mean, you know, when I read, when I feel a real confidence in what I'm telling people, I get like a bright light on my soul. You know, of course, I always say that goes back to my Catholic upbringing, but I feel like the light is shining my soul. And when I think about this person, I just get this burst of light on my soul that, you know, here's this wonderful opening for this individual and that they really actually are going to be in a place where they're going to feel quite happy.
Right, very good. If you do have questions, you have a few minutes to get them over to us and we'll get them right over to Donna. Star charts. How long does it take to work up a regular star chart, and how long is it good for?
All right, now, a natal chart is the chart that most people have the very first time they have a reading, the natal. And the natal chart is based on the time, the place, and the date of birth. And it's supposedly, theory-wise, you know, they cut the umbilical cord, you take your first breath, the doctor looks at the clock and writes down on your birth certificate, you know, this is when you're born. And supposedly that's when the planets take its effect. It's not while the baby is still in the womb. It's when you are separate from the mother and you're breathing on your own, okay? And the natal chart covers your entire life. It covers the past, the present, and the future. It tells you about marriages and health and career and travel and children and health. And I mean, it's the whole ball of wax. You know, it gives you the foundation of the chart. It tells you who you are as a person and what your destiny path is. A progression can be done with the natal, but then, you know, after you have your natal chart, like my clients don't have their natal chart done every single year. They have the natal chart done the first time, and then every year they have a progression or an update. And that's tells you where the planets have moved to in the years you've been alive. And it really focuses on the immediate 12 months. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to have your chart done in January. You know, it's like if you had your chart done today, it would go from September the 22nd of 2012 through September the 22nd of 2013. And what I do is I go month by month for those 12 months telling people how those planets are going to be affecting their own chart individually. So what you can expect from September the 22nd to, let's say, October the 23rd. You know, where the planets are going to be in your chart and what is that going to create in your life? And you know, is this a good time for work, or, you know, is this going to be a cycle where you're going to be in a low resistance, so you need to kind of watch your health a little bit? Or is this going to be a time when there's going to be opportunity for travel, or is this going to be your career breakthrough for you? So it's very, very individual. And unlike a psychic, and I have nothing wrong with psychics, because I have many friends who are psychics. A psychic, this is the difference between astrology and having a psychic reading. A psychic will say, I'm coming up with the number six. I don't know if it's 6 days, 6 weeks, or 6 months. Okay, but they get the number six. And they can be accurate. You'll say, well, you know, she was right. That happened 6 months from the time I did the reading. The thing I like about astrology, because I'm a Virgo and I'm very precise about things that I do, I like that timing. I want to know that from the 22nd of September to the 23rd of October, that planet is going to be in that house, and that's what that is going to mean for me. Or, you know, like on this date, this is when that opportunity, and I really give people a lot of dates. I do. I'm not vague. It's not one of these things. It's like, well, I don't know, maybe around. I argue with my clients because I feel that when someone wants me to do their chart, I hold them in the palm of my hand. I take it very seriously, and I'll say to them, this is the best time for you to do this. Or sometimes I'll say, you know, it's just too soon. If you do this now, you're going to have to do all that work all over again. Just wait. Just wait those few days. You know, it's going to be better if you wait a month. Or sometimes I'll say to people, you know what, the train is leaving the station. Run and get on board. Don't waste a minute. This is it right now. Do it right now. So I feel confident enough that in the years I've done charts, I know when there's a good cycle for somebody and when someone needs to just kind of stop and take a beat and take a breath and just step back for a little bit. And, you know, I really want to give people the best advice that I possibly can because I want everyone to be happy and successful. I really, truly do.
Now, you do star charts for a lot of the stars. Some of them you'd sent with some little things about things that happened to them, such as Jamie Farr. He played Corporal Klinger on MASH. And he had a fear of flying, and through astrology, how was he able to be, I guess, overcome that fear?
Well, he was afraid of flying, and you know, I looked at his chart and I said, you know, you do not die in a plane crash. You're not going to die in a plane crash. That's not going to happen. That's just not aspected in your chart whatsoever. Even if that car, you know, that plane lost power and they had to, you know, like Captain Sully right there on the Hudson River, you would survive. There's nothing that shows in your chart that you're going to die in a plane crash. And because he had to fly so much, you know, as an actor and you know, going different places for different work. And so that took a lot of pressure off of him, that then he didn't have that anxiety about flying anymore. And, you know, so, I mean, sometimes it can be helpful because sometimes you just need that little bit of information so you can make a better decision. I tell people I don't have any magic wand. I can't make something happen for someone that isn't supposed to happen. So I tell people, you know what, it's like going in a time machine, going into the future, saying these things and going, if I'd only known. So I'm going to give you information that hopefully is going to empower you as an individual so you can make the choices to have the outcome you so desire. So I say to people, I'm going to draw you a map, okay? And I'm going to say, along this highway, when you get to the junction, if you turn right, you can expect that. But if you turn left, you can expect that. And I said to people, choose wisely because you're the one behind the steering wheel. You're driving the car. So people will say, well, are you always accurate? And I'll say, well, I'm as accurate as people are willing to work with the information. If I tell you not to do something and you do it and you have a bad outcome, well, I'm not responsible for that. If I tell you you're in a good cycle, but then you sit back and you don't do anything, someone sent me an email and he said, you told me I would be successful. I know this person's very well, and he's very talented, he's very creative, but he wanted to party like a rock star, but he didn't want to do the work. And so I thought, oh, no, he's not putting this on me. Mm-mm. And I said, you know what, maybe some people want their success more than others. And I said, you know, it is important to walk the walk. You got to do the work. So just because you're in a great cycle, if you sit back and you don't do anything, you cannot expect that just to drop out of the sky. But fortunately, most of the people that come to me are ambitious, and they have drive, and they want it to happen. They really, truly want it to happen. And so they just need to know they're in a good cycle, and then they do the work. And that's what I think is my gift, is saying, yes, this is the time now. It will happen. Just step and do it.
Now we have a chance. We have a question. Yeah. A very good one, actually. Nyla would like to know if astrology can tell you when your life is ending.
Well, you know, everybody, remember, there's free will. And really, I'm not God, okay? But I can tell people when they're in a cycle where they're at risk. And years and years ago, Bob Mackey, the clothes designer, and his partner, Ray Agion, maybe the early 80s, okay? They had a friend, an actor, who was sick. And they had me do his chart. And I could tell he was very sick. He was seriously sick. He had a lot of planets in his house of hospitals, the 12th house. And I really felt that it would be a miracle if he made it through the end of the year. And that was like around February. Well, in April, he was dead. I was shocked. I was really shocked. Because I thought, I knew it was serious, but I thought maybe he would, you know, live until the end of the year. And I said, well, you know, why did he die? And Ray Agion said to me, well, he had AIDS. And I said, well, what is AIDS? And he said, well, you know, it's a homosexual cancer. And I said, cancer? I mean, you know, there's chemotherapy, there's... He says, no, Donna, if you have AIDS, you die. And, I mean, that was such a tremendous, intense thing. I thought, oh, my God, what is this AIDS? And so it was like, but I could see in this person's chart that there was just this intensity. And I didn't think this person would live a long time, but I didn't know that it could be so quick. And, of course, at that time, that was the beginning of the whole AIDS epidemic,
yeah.
You know. And then recently, a few years ago, I had a client, and she was working for this company. She had great medical coverage. But then the company was coming to an end. But I saw in her chart she was entering into a difficult health cycle. And I said to her, whatever you do, do not let your health insurance lapse. Make sure that you keep your health insurance because you're going to be in a cycle where there's going to be some health challenges for you. And she ended up getting cancer, and she did pass.
Hmm.
So, you know what? I don't have the power over life and death. I don't. And I don't dwell on things like that. And there are sometimes people say, I don't want you to talk about death. I don't want you to mention death. Don't even bring it up. And I'll say, okay, I won't. You know, I mean, I don't look for that in a ghoulish way. But, you know, just like Jamie, he felt a great deal of comfort in knowing he wasn't going to die in a plane crash. And so he felt he could get on a plane and it would be okay. And that gave him, you know, a little bit of calmness, and it made him a little bit easier about flying. And sometimes it's just important to have that information.
Wow. I do want to let everybody know that we also now have listeners from the UK. So welcome.
Okay.
And also right after our show tonight, you stay tuned for the Ghost Soldiers tonight. Pat is going to be talking to Jerry Cannon. He is the author of the upcoming book, Ark Quest. So that ought to be very interesting to hear about that. So stay tuned for that tonight. And our time, you know, is quickly going down. Did we have any other questions from the chat room?
No, no. Just I think we need to have Donna back for the Academy Award predictions.
How about the Emmys? You got the Emmys tonight.
Yeah, the Emmys are tonight.
Oh yeah, I didn't even really think about that. I thought that everybody would be asking about the election. You know, and so it was like that was, you know, because I get people calling me, oh, who's going to win? You know, and I'm thinking, oh, well, I'm sure that people will be talking about the election, you know, and so I didn't even think about the Emmys. Isn't that funny? You know, sorry about that.
Well, now, if you would like to get readings from Donna, you can send her an email and she'll get in contact with you or tell you how to get in contact with her. What is that email address?
Okay, it's Donna, D-O-N-N-A, Stargazer. So it's S-T-A-R-G-A-Z-E-R at gmail.com. And if you send me your name and your address, I will send you a price list, an order form, with all the information I need to do, you know, to have your chart done. I need to know the time, the place, and the date of birth. Unfortunately, if you don't know your time of birth, I can't do a chart for you because that really is crucial. That's almost more important than the day.
Really?
The time is the thing that gives you. It should be on your birth certificate. Yeah, most times it's right there on the birth certificate.
I think mine was at 122, which is my birth date. It was true.
That's interesting.
It was 1:22 a.m. on a Wednesday morning.
No, well, I was 9 a.m. on a Thursday.
Yeah. See, and you know that it's important because
8 a.m.
You know that time is the crucial thing that gives you, you know, the dates that tell you when that planet enters into that house and when it leaves. And I mean, I've done it for 43 years. You know, it's like you can't do something that long if you don't care about what you're doing and if you don't have a passion. And you know what? In all the charts I've done in all these years, I've never done two charts that are exactly the same. Never.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, even for twins, they're basically different.
Yeah, they're minutes apart. Yeah.
Well, you know, the degree of the ascendant changes every 4 minutes. But it was interesting because I did do twins that were Caesarean, and there was only a minute apart. And I thought, oh, there won't be any difference. There won't. I mean, you know, but it was funny. That minute was the difference, you know, and the boy had a much more assertive. He had Jupiter in the house of occupation. And in that minute, it changed in the little girl's house of friends, hopes, and desires. So she was going to be a little social butterfly. But he was going to be, you know, a big power player. And I was just in awe. I mean, I did the math a couple times. I thought, I can't believe 1 minute would make that much of a difference. You know, I thought, maybe you didn't do the math right. Do that again. You know, and so I learned something with every chart that I do. I mean, I'm still learning things, and I'm still enjoying it. And you know, I mean, my greatest satisfaction is when people send me a note and say, you know, thank you so much. You know, you really changed my life.
Donna, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. And I'd like for you to stay on until after we get off, and we'll chat with you for a few minutes.
Okay, fine.
And Jeff, why don't you go ahead and start giving out all of our stuff?
Well, you can certainly go to my website, which is jeffgould.net, G-E-O-F-F-G-O-U-L-D.net. And if you add /2011PNV.htm, that's my Paranormal View aspect, my otherwise acting site. And that'll show you all the different past shows we've done and reports to each respective show, plus links to what the topics of which were discussed and other titles and such. Also, you can, our official website is theparanormalview.com. At Facebook, just do a search for The Paranormal View, and there we are. I'm also on Facebook, as is the rest of our hosts, Henry Foister, Cat Cloco, and Silly Cat Barbara Duncan. And for all your apparel, just go to cafepress.com/realbadgershop, all one word. And just so you all know, I'm scooting out of here for a ghost investigation tonight. And I'm also working on a movie called Saving Mr. Banks about the making of Mary Poppins. And I got to meet Colin Farrell yesterday.
Yay! All right,
see you again on Monday.
All right. Well, Jeff, you have a great time investigating tonight. And I want to take time to thank everybody tonight for all the questions and that you sent in. Really appreciate all the interaction. Kat.
Yes.
Yeah, you've got some sites too there.
Yes, I have my own website. It's at www.huntforghosts.com, and I will be updating it with the past week's ghost hunts and other events that I've been at. And hopefully in October, I will be delighting you all with a graphic novel, and I will give you more information about that a little later on. So,
all right. Henry? Okay. Cece, you got anything to add?
Nope.
Well...
That was short.
Succinct.
That ain't helping.
Still no
me,
website then. Yet. Still working on that.
But you are on Facebook.
I am on Facebook. Yes.
I think all.
If
of
you
us
do
are.
The Facebook thing / Ellen Smithy, you'll find me there. Or click on the little house next to my name, Ceiling Cat, in chat. That'll take you to the Facebook link.
All right. Next week we have. Port, Ohio with Mark and Craig, and one of the girls from the Bell Nursing Home will be chatting with us also. So that ought to be interesting again, see what's been going on up there. And we might even talk a little bit about a house that we've just did a few weeks ago. So, till then, we're going to jump off. Stay tuned for Ghost Soldiers. And see you all next week. This is Henry Foister.
Jeffrey Gould.
Cat Cloco.
And Barbara Duncan.
All right. We'll see you all next week then. As soon as I find a little thing here.
We're living. Feel come back and visit us again. Listening to the Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network.
The Paranormal View.